Let's continue reading verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in this last section of Ephesians 2, we have the wonderful truth that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. The Ephesian believers to whom the Apostle Paul was writing would certainly have known a lot about temples. Many of the Jewish believers there from Ephesus would undoubtedly have seen Herod's temple in Jerusalem when they were there for one of the annual feasts. This would be the very temple which our Lord attended, and the temple from which he drove out the money changers. And then, of course, both the Jewish and Gentile believers of Ephesus would have known of the great temple in Ephesus dedicated to the pagan goddess Diana or Artemis. This magnificent structure, humanly speaking, was considered one of the great wonders of the ancient world. If you visit the ruins of ancient Ephesus today, you can see one of the columns of this temple standing. It gives an idea of the former grandeur of this temple. I think that temple had 127 columns. This temple was so spectacular to the ancient Ephesians that the merchants of Ephesus made and sold little silver models of this temple. In fact, we read about that in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was on his third missionary journey. I'm reading Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 28. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" And then after the uproar had quieted down, we read in verse 35, "And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, 'Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from heaven?'" So you see, it's against this background that Paul wrote about the church as being the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a contrast! The temple of the Holy Spirit was not a material building of wood and stones built by man, but it was a living structure built by God himself. Well, so much for the background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. As you can see, we have three doctrinal points, because besides the main figure of the temple, we have two other figures used in verse 19 for the whole body of believers. So doctrinal point number one, believers are citizens of heaven. Believers are citizens of heaven. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." We're no longer strangers and foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with all the saints. Philippians 3:20 says that we are citizens of heaven. I trust that you here this morning have trusted Christ and you're a citizen of heaven. Doctrinal point number two, believers are members of God's family. Believers are members of God's family. Verse 19, "You are members of the household of God." Here we have another model to emphasize the unity of all believers, the family. We are all brothers and sisters in God's family. You know, just this past week, I started a conversation with a total stranger. Within 10 minutes, we found out we were both Christians, and we were calling each other brother. I mean, others looked on and couldn't figure this out. The world looks on and can't understand this. Some are even jealous. We had instant fellowship because we were brothers in God's family. You ever have that experience? It's wonderful. Believers are members of God's family. And doctrine point number 3, believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In verses 20 through 22, we have the primary figure used in this section of Ephesians 2, a temple. Now notice that we have in these verses the foundation of the temple, the cornerstone of the temple, the architect of the temple, the materials of the temple, and the purpose of the temple. So we'll make these 4 subpoints. So subpoint A, the foundation of the temple, verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets. That is the foundational teaching of the apostles and prophets. Now, the prophets here are New Testament prophets, not the Old Testament prophets. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 says that God appointed for the church first apostles and second prophets, followed by the other gifts. So it's New Testament prophets that are in view. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5 says that the mystery of Christ and his body, the church, has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So the teaching of the apostles and New Testament prophets, such as this letter from the apostle Paul himself, is foundational to the temple that God is building. Subpoint B, the cornerstone of the temple, verse 20. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The focus of the foundational teaching concerning the church is certainly Christ. He's the cornerstone of the foundation. There's no contradiction here, by the way, with 1 Corinthians 3:11, which says that Christ is the foundation of the church. We just have 2 different illustrations of the building of the church. In 1 Corinthians 3, the illustration is of a building, not necessarily a temple, by the way, and we are the builders in that passage, building on the foundation of Christ. And the point of the illustration there is to take heed how we build. Here in the Ephesians 2 figure, the building is a temple. God is the builder, not us. And we are the building blocks, with the apostles and prophets and their teaching making up the foundation. So in this illustration, Christ is the cornerstone, the most important stone tying everything together. So there's no contradiction between Ephesians 2:20 and 1 Corinthians 3:11. Just 2 different illustrations. Listen, if I were to give 2 sermon illustrations about living the Christian life using the figure of driving a car, you wouldn't accuse me of contradicting myself if in one illustration the Lord is in the driver's seat and I'm sitting right next to him, while in another sermon illustration I'm driving the car and the Lord is sitting right next to me as the perfect navigator. You wouldn't say, Dave, you contradicted yourself. I haven't contradicted myself. Just 2 illustrations of the Christian life. Everybody follow? Here's the hermeneutical principle. Don't determine your doctrine from the illustration. You let illustrations illustrate doctrine. Subpoint C, the architect of the temple. The architect of the temple. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. God himself is obviously the architect of the temple. He is fitting together the whole building according to plan. Notice that the building doesn't put itself together, but God fits it together in relation to the cornerstone. It's not thrown together haphazardly. It's fit together with precise planning and care. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you, as one of the living stones, were picked with precise planning and care. And the verb grows here is a biological term. This is a living building. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's living. You must have spiritual life to be in this temple. And that brings us to subpoint D, the materials of the temple. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what are the materials of the temple? We are the materials of the temple. No material building on earth today should be called the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit is not a building of wood and stone and stained glass windows. This is a building composed of people. We are the materials. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. All believers form the one true church, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And subpoint E, the purpose of the temple. Verse 22, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Think of it. Forever, the God of this universe will dwell in the midst of his people and have fellowship with them. That's us. Even now, while the temple is being built, God dwells in the midst of his people by his Spirit. Not only are our individual bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19, but together as a body of believers, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. We have this same thought brought out in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you, that is the church, you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Both now and forever, believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And finally, practical application from this last section of Ephesians 2. Let's not make noise in the temple area. Let's not make noise in the temple area. The temple area in Jerusalem was to be a quiet place. This was God's sanctuary. It was not a place for noise or disruption or commercialism. That's why the Lord tossed out the money changers. When the first temple was built during Solomon's time, the building stones were all cut and shaped in the quarry area, so that there would not even be construction noise in the temple area. This was God's house. Do you see the lesson? Believers together today form the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But some believers make a lot of noise in the temple area. Wherever they go, they cause problems. They disrupt whatever church they attend. They spend very little time in worship or Bible study. They just make noise in the temple area. You know any Christians like that? Let's not make noise in the temple area.